would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule?
Welcome to Shoestring Radio Theater. We now present part three of Astonishing Failures, written by Hugh A.D. Spencer, directed by Paul Dougherty, and produced by Monica Sullivan at Western Public Radio in San Francisco. In part two of Astonishing Failures, we saw D.H. Evanston's theories of mentotechnics become the revolution of 1950. Stuart McCready and Jay Cross have helped expand the message by requiring writers for their science fiction magazine, Tremendous Stories, to use the principles of mentotechnics for their stories. This has caused many of the regular writers to jump ship and go to a competitor. As for our protagonist, Bob Clyde, he continues to deal with his broken marriage and writing science fiction in an era when the world is changing.
And good evening, listeners. Welcome to Dark Words, the interview program for late-night thinkers. Tonight we have in our studios Roland Page, noted psychoanalyst and an outspoken critic of mentotechnics, the fad that's sweeping the United States.
Good evening.
Dr. Page is here to provide a different perspective on some of the things that Donald H. Evanston said when he was here on Dark Words last week.
Yes, that is correct. I'm here as a representative of the Organization of Psychomedical Practitioners.
Now, Dr. Page, you've been quoted as calling Mr. Evanston a delusional hysteric, and stating that mentotechnics is a body of hazardous lies which could lead millions to at best foolishness and at worst psychosis. Is that quote correct?
I made those remarks at the annual conference of the American Psychological Society last month. But perhaps your listeners may want to evaluate mentotechnics. Not just on my word, but on its own terms. Thousands of people supposedly cured by Evanston's treatment. Has even one person become healthier through mentotechnics? Has anyone woke?
It's all coming home to roost, McCready.
Are you sincere?
Oh, Mac, Jay, oh, great to see you both here. I hope I didn't keep you waiting too long. Well, let's get started, shall we?
Shall we not wait for the secretary discussion and policy decisions?
Oh, nah. Pioneers in science and commerce, such as ourselves, shouldn't be bound by bureaucratic cunning.
Donald,
if you insist. I hereby declare the monthly meeting of the Board of Directors for the Mentotechnic Educational Institute to be in session.
Well, I'm glad you're so happy.
I am also compelled to query the reasons for your apparently positive frame of mind.
Oh, I admit we seem to have a few short-term expansion problems.
A few problems? Have you read the papers lately? We're getting creamed in the press. Christ, even the fanzines are making fun of your last lecture.
I must substantiate Stewart's concern. August sales of the Mentotechnics book have dropped to less than 0.6% of the sales for June and July. Extrapolating this trend, we can estimate that less than 250 books have been sold so far in this month.
No, you're right. I suppose the demonstration could have gone a little better.
A little better? Not only did you fail to prove that you had doubled the boy's IQ, the kid collapsed on the stage.
Oh, it was a technical problem. Besides, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
No such thing as bad publicity? Are you insane? We've been condemned by the AMA, ridiculed by the American Psychological Society, and attacked by the National Mental Health Association. We may get subpoenaed by the Food and Drug Administration, for God's sake.
Oh, stop worrying. Oh, that's in the past. I've got three new books on the stands this month.
Cumulative sales for all three of the new publications total less than 25% of the initial sales of the original Mentotechnics book.
We really don't want to mess around with the feds, Don. I know.
If current sales continue at present levels, the new books will not achieve bestseller status until the year 2362.
Well, okay. You've got me, guys. I admit it. We have a couple of fairly serious PR and cash flow problems. But I've got a solution for our present difficulties.
Like what?
Please elucidate.
Of course. Right behind this curtain, explorers of the mind, witness the future.
What the hell is going on here? We didn't authorize anything like this.
I am experiencing momentary disorientation. Why are we looking at a wall of multicolored parcels?
Please, my friends. It is the blood of generations of entrepreneurial geniuses and the robber barons of the Evanston lineage that speak to you now.
Oh, my God.
Now, gentlemen, what are the two main causes of the Institute's problems? One, a diffusion of profit. The people are interested in mentotechnics, so they go out and buy the book. Once. Or worse, they borrow the book from a library, or they may hear about mentotechnics from a friend or family member. 1.3 million people may have bought the book, but uncounted millions more are out there practicing the therapy, and we see no money from this aside from book sales and lecture fees. The results? We get paid a little for sowing the seed, but we get nothing of the bounteous harvest. So, gents, how do we make a buck from all those people who are out there chomping at the bit to discover their new minds and making all that homemade therapy equipment?
Well,
Problem number two, consumer dissatisfaction. Okay, I admit the following scenario can happen. People buy the book, do what they think it says, and then they find that they aren't any smarter, richer, or more popular. Erroneously, they conclude that mentotechnics doesn't work. So they start spreading vicious rumors to their friends and family. And believe me, that kind of word of mouth is really bad for business.
Well, some of that has certainly been coming around me.
Isn't it terrible how these things can get started? But don't despair. I have the answer to both our problems. Merchandising.
Now, why didn't I think about that?
We tell people that the therapy didn't work for them because they neglected to purchase a number of useful products which are invaluable aids to attaining mentotechnics self-improvement objectives. And here's the kicker. All the profits from the products we produce and promote will go directly to the Institute. Of course, some of these funds will be used to reward the considerable efforts of the hard-working board of directors.
What's next, man? We start selling door-to-door?
Would not retail services of this scope require a fundamental redirection of the Institute's philosophy and mandate?
Why don't I tell you about some of the products? The Evanstonian Cerebroscope Commercial Mark I. This is a device tailor-made to augment the effectiveness of advanced mentotechnic treatment. It operates on 2 penlight batteries and retails for a very reasonable $388.99.
Oh, very reasonable.
Well, here's something a little less expensive. Technol M, a revolutionary medicinal additive and mineral compound which promotes regularity and harnesses ambient mental energy. Technol M is reported to counteract the effects of toxic chemicals and radiation and promote the healing of decayed nerve endings.
But what possible combination of chemical components could have these properties?
And where the hell do you get that crap?
Ah, and this is an important educational tool for people who may be a little queasy about taking medication on a regular basis. Sonic Self-Improvement with Donald H. Evanston. A series of readings and exercises recorded by myself for posterity and convenient use on this set of 1478 RPM records. The set will go for $200, but with regular inventory discount sales for $99.99.
Oh, yes, a bargain at twice the price.
So, my friends and partners, what do you think?
I... I cannot condone any of your intentions. Your proposal represents a complete deviation from the overall purpose of Institute research, which is to discover unknown and untapped resources and potentials of the mind. You want to compromise the integrity of the mentotechnics movement. I simply do not believe the Institute to be a commercial entity.
Yeah. We can still do some research, but we'll fund that work from the profits we get from the product sales.
Donald, you're on damn dangerous ground here. Anything that looks like a drug or therapeutic equipment will have to be approved by the government as safe and bona fide medical products. Everything here will have to be tested and certified by the Food and Drug Administration. I bet you haven't thought of that, have you? Techno-M? Good God! Why the hell don't you set up a concession for Pushin' Hair Restore or Spanish Fly? The only way we can sell this legally is if they agree to classify it as hobby equipment or religious artifacts.
Very interesting thoughts, Stu.
I didn't get into this because I wanted a career as a carny huckster, but that's what you're proposing we do. I support Mentotechnics because I believe that it's a practical way for the average man to improve his life. I helped you because I thought we would stimulate new ideas and challenge some assumptions.
I intuitively sense that both MacGreedy and I are in agreement. Donald, as your board members, we cannot concur with your proposals. And as we constitute the majority of the board of Mentotechnics Institute...
We are terminating this little venture of yours, Don. Achoo! Maybe we'll... have to scale down the Institute's operations. For start, we can move somewhere where we can afford the rent. Maybe we can invite some outside researchers and shrinks to comment on the work we've done so far. Stop putting all the pressure on Don's books and lectures for income.
What's with all this sneezing?
Last of the summer allergies, I guess.
Stuart has experienced a minor relapse. I have been helping him with remedial treatment sessions.
You are helping him? I completely cured all his allergies. There shouldn't be any relapses. Well, I know what this means.
Don, what's the big deal?
Just a minute. Just one damn minute. Aha. Here it is. The charter for the Mentotechnics Institute. The reasons for dismissal from the board of the Institute includes 1, failure to adhere to the theory and practice of mentotechnics as described in the work of Donald H. Evanston, or 2, if said board member or members are found to be acting against the best interest of mentotechnics as determined by Donald H. Evanston...
What are you getting at, Don?
You bloody bastard should have looked at the fine print. It says that what I say goes, and I say you go. So get the hell out of here, you traitors!
Come on, Jay. We don't need to suffer this fool gladly.
Goodbye, Donald.
Traitors!
The gentleman is a dope, and not my cup of tea.
I am once again a single man. The flight into Reno suggested a new theory of life to me. Aviation existentialism. Life is a series of very long runways, short mad flights, and desperate landings on new runways. You roll along the latest runway thinking this must be your situation in life. But just when you get used to things, you're at the end of this runway and you have to take off again. Then you land, and you think, for sure, this is where you're meant to end up until... Well, you can guess how this continues. Anyway, I am now about to make my first big takeoff in life. I seem to be getting over the divorce pretty easily, and I think I've grown up some, which can only be an improvement. Of course, I wasn't tough or smart enough to get Ray to tell me who her lover was, which is why we had to go out to Reno in the first place. There is definitely such a thing as being too nice. I had other things to attend to, and with any big change, there are often a number of loose ends which have to be tied off.
Hello? This is the Isaacs household.
Hello, Barbara. this is Bob Clyde.
Oh, hello, Bob. How are you doing?
Oh, fine.
Are you sure? If there's anything Sheldon and I can do, you be sure to let us know.
Well, that's very kind of you, but really, I'm fine. Listen, Barbara, can I speak to Sheldon for a moment? It's a business matter.
Why, sure, Bob.
Robert, this is Sheldon. You aren't contemplating suicide or anything, are you?
No. But thanks for asking, Sheldon.
Well, thank God for that.
Listen, Sheldon, the movie van has just left, and I thought I'd let you and Barbara know that I'm going to be changing my address shortly.
Excellent idea, Robert. Change the locale. Get a fresh start. Obliterate any trace of that she-devil.
To Hollywood.
Good grief, man. California. Whatever for?
Well, Allied Artists need somebody to do some script doctoring on a couple of sci-fi projects. And there's a chance that I could be working on some Finney and Ehrlich's treatments.
But Los Angeles, it's human life without civilization. It's so vapid. The driving is loose. The people are so promiscuous.
Actually, I was kind of counting on that, Sheldon.
But what about the television series? How can you keep working on Alexander Steele from Los Angeles? You can't abandon our creative offspring, can you?
Sheldon, they won't have any trouble replacing me. I mean, all they need is someone who can write and watch at the same time. Anyway, to be perfectly honest, Sheldon, I think the character is starting to run out of gas. I mean, I'd be very surprised if the sponsor picks up the series for another year.
Really? Well, I hope you're wrong, because I'm halfway through the second trilogy and we're going to need a new magazine to carry it.
I didn't know you'd done so much work on the latest book. Look, Sheldon, I really think you should finish any new Steele books on your own. I mean, I think you're the one who's the most committed to the character.
Goodness, Bob, do you really mean it? That's tremendously generous of you.
More generous than I knew. As we will discover later on, this was the most expensive phone call in my entire life.
Forget it, Sheldon. Look at his compensation for all the rotten things I did to you when we were kids.
I shall try to live up to this responsibility, Robert. I hope you'll be proud of the many new adventures of Alexander Steele and all the police.
I'm sure I will. Look, Sheldon, I gotta get up to some people this afternoon before I catch a train. You take care, and I'll drop you and the family a postcard once I get settled in. Bye.
I shall miss you, Robert. Don't pick up too many bad habits.
Now I only had one more thing to settle. Hopefully I was going to reap a measure of satisfaction for all those months of grief.
Mentotechnics Newsletter, number 162, volume 30. Truth and Survival. An editorial for loyal and honest mentotechnic practitioners. Beware, my faithful students. You may be surrounded by traitorous, lying monsters who seek only to bring about your ruin. Even those you most trust may be plotting against you, and only too late will their true, loathsome natures be revealed.
Mr. Robinson! Mr. Robinson! Help! Help! They've got guns! They've got guns!
Come in.
I wondered if I'd find you here.
Bob Clyde, good God, it's you!
Yes, indeed. It's me.
What are you talking about, young lady?
Out of everybody I knew, I really didn't think it'd be you.
Me? I
guess we have a few things to talk about, don't we?
Look, Bob, I don't know what you may have been told, but you know, the world is really, really a crazy place sometimes, and...
Are you Donald Harlan Evanston?
Yes, I am. What is the meaning of this outrage?
We're federal marshals, authorized by the U.S. Department of Justice. We have a warrant for your arrest and the seizure of all contents of these premises.
On what charge, officer?
Practicing medicine without a license, distributing unauthorized medicinal substances without FDA approval, suspected transport of unregistered drugs and consumables across state lines, fraud, theft, income tax evasion, and generally raising the level of BS in America past acceptable levels.
Dave, how badly did you guys edit my manuscripts?
What? Your manuscript?
Yeah, my new novel. What the hell do you think I was talking about? Your boss Ziegler asked me to stop by and talk about it before I left town. I was just surprised to see you cross over to the competition so fast.
You have a novel with us. Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Well, stop. You can't do that. This is an affront to science. It's a crime against freedom.
Agent Phelps, this suspected felon has been witnessed obstructing duly empowered federal marshals in the execution of their duty. So cuff the jerk.
But you can't do this to me. A respected writer and then therapeutic commentator and a scientific researcher.
Get him out of here and cuff his girlfriend, too.
Oh, no!
They say they can't find the keys to the filing cabinets in the other offices, sir.
Boys, the IRS is going to want to see those files ASAP.
So you're ordering us to...
Yeah, use the sledgehammers.
Right. Sorry if I seem a little slow on the uptake here. I'm still just trying to get settled, and Ziegler hasn't briefed me on everything.
So what is a mysterious Mr. Ziegler like? He's a bit of an enigma to most of us.
Well, he's a lot of an enigma to me. I still haven't met the man. He lives somewhere out in New Hampshire. He never leaves his home. I maintain the New York office, and we communicate by telephone.
That's bizarre.
These are the line of work we're in, Bob. Okay, well, here, I've got your manuscript. Ziegler just sent it in yesterday. So I haven't had a chance to see what he wants to do with it. Huh. This is quite an honor to me that he's already done all the edits, personally. Well, and according to this, he's only making some minor edits. He's divided Chapter 4 into two separate chapters at the rocket escape sequence, cut a little exposition from Chapter 2, and he wants to change the title of the novel from Exploitation Syndrome to Galaxy of Madness.
He liked it that much?
Compared to what MacReady's been doing to his people, I'd say you got off easy with this guy.
But Galaxy of Madness? I don't know, Dave.
Bob, we have to be flexible here. Hell, the story's the same, right? Science fiction paperbacks are a new beast. Nobody's sure about the market, so we have to do everything we can to build sales.
Gonna be some cleavage on the cover, is there?
I've seen the cover illustrations for the whole line of paperbacks. None of them have any relationship to the story inside, and every one of them have big. I don't think low-cut spacesuits are possible. But this seems to be one point in which the readership is willing to suspend its usual insistence on scientific feasibility.
Okay. Since the damn book is probably going to sink to the earth, cover will probably be the least of its problems.
Again, I am mistaken. This time, happily so. In its first printing, Galaxy of Madness was by no means a runaway bestseller, but it got good. Developed a loyal readership. Over the next 30 years, the book stayed in print and gradually attracted several million readers. Some of what we wrote in those dark nights was commentary, cries of protest from a trivial place. We were safe because we were so crazy. But what we didn't know was that we were also writing the classics of science fiction. We were directing the hearts and minds of the next generation, directing them in ways none of us could predict.
No, I won't let you do this.
That concludes part 3 of Astonishing Failures, written by Hugh A.D. Spencer, directed by Paul Dougherty, and produced by Monica Sullivan at Western Public Radio in San Francisco. It starred Frank Clemens as young Bob Clyde, Russ Hickman as D.H. Evanston, Jeff Winsick as David Poole, Jeff Goddard as Stuart MacReady, Francis Germishausen as Rayanne Sparks, Jonathan Wind as Sheldon Isaacs, Steve Rubin, Lauren Davis as Barbara Isaacs, and Paul Dougherty as old Bob Clyde. Our co-producer was Steve Rubenstein, and our senior associate producer was Cynthia Cravens. We'd like to thank Carol Pearson and Carolyn Van Putten for their enduring commitment to public radio. You can email us at srt@shoestring.org. For more information on Shoestring, visit our website at www.shoestring.org. For Shoestring Radio Theater, I'm Paul Dougherty. Thank you for joining us.
Carry moonbeams home in a jar.